I'm very sad. Very sad.
But the world hasn't come to an end yet?
No, no. Oh, okay with that. That's good news. That is not something I am disappointed by. I am disappointed that Don from Burnsville dropped.
He needs to call back.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone. We want to talk to you, Don.
I want his thoughts on Rex Tillerson, because he always provides such cogent insight to the issues of the day.
Usually he has there the backstory.
All right, he's back. Don in Burnsville.
Good morning, Don.
So glad you called back.
Good to hear from you, sir.
Big fan of the show.
Good morning. Just one quick comment and question.
Yeah.
When any executive comes into a new job, like Donald Trump, their success largely depends on the people they surround themselves with. And I was just wondering, do you think that Trump simply picks bad people, or is he just incapable of working with other people?
Are you saying that Donald Trump's administration so far has not been a success?
Well, there sure has been an abnormal amount of turnover.
I don't know that it's abnormal. If you look at the amount of turnover in previous administrations in the first couple
of let's be honest about it.
I am being honest about it. Look at the numbers, Don.
It's just been terrible as far as the number of turnovers.
But has it really?
But Don, let's live in your world for a moment. And let's say that it has been an unprecedented amount of turnover.
Yeah.
I hardly see a correlation between the turnover of the people that are around the president and the successes that the country has had under President Donald Trump since then. I mean, if you're using the turnover as a gauge of success, then yes, you could argue that. But if you're using success as a gauge of how the country is doing, the country's doing very well.
What could be accomplished versus what is being accomplished? I think Trump has inherited an opportunity to do an awful lot of good, but he's blowing it by all this turmoil.
But I would argue that Trump has done an awful lot of good, especially when you look at the economy right now. When you look at foreign affairs right now, Trump has actually done quite a bit of good. The things that he hasn't gotten done are probably some of the things that conservatives would be frustrated by. He hasn't taken care of, you know, Obamacare yet, and he hasn't built the wall yet. But the other successes certainly are things that you could say are, you know, you can put into the category of things that have gone well.
Yeah, I mean, North Korea reached out and wants to have talks with the American president, the first time in decades.
No, I disagree with you. You might want to call the tax package a success.
I do.
But beyond that,
stock market.
I don't see. You can't point to
businesses?
Any area that he is primarily responsible for.
Job growth?
He inherited an economy which was growing over the last 10 years.
What?
Don, how can I get to your alternate universe? I don't want to live there, but I would like to visit.
Look, Obama inherited a financial disaster.
True.
And there was steady growth throughout.
No. No, Don, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The GDP was stagnant.
Economic growth throughout Obama's administration. It took a long time to dig it out of the hole that George Bush had put us in.
Don, we appreciate your phone call and you calling in, but if you're not going to face actual truths, it's going to be difficult to have a conversation with you. The GDP was stuck and stagnant the entire time that President Barack Obama was in office. The stock market has rebounded exponentially since Trump has taken office office.
The stock market rebounded from 6,000 up to over 20,000 during Obama's administration.
Consumer confidence is through the roof. Unemployment is down.
Made a statement that the stock market has taken off since
it has.
It took off during Obama's administration.
There may have been some spikes in the stock market while Obama was also in office, but this
went from 6,000.
Yeah, look, we've hit 20,000. Don, we've hit all time highs.
Yeah. It may have been good under Obama. It's been better under Trump.
It tripled. It tripled during Obama's administration.
And it's been better under Trump.
Trump
unemployment numbers. Don, hold on. Unemployment numbers are at an all time low. Consumer confidence.
Okay.
No, Don. Let's hold on. If we're gonna let you talk, then allow us to talk. Consumer confidence is at an all time high. You've got unemployment numbers are the lowest that they've been in a long, long time. Right. You have the job growth is up. The GDP is up. Right. We have a better situation going on in terms of our foreign policy right now. And as Drew said, we have North Korea wanting to talk to us for the first time in decades. So I'm sorry. That is reality. Fan of the show, Don.
Well, let me just respond with this. First of all, the economy is continued to grow from the Obama administration. I agree with you. And it's done. It's doing well. But on the foreign policy, it's a disaster.
Oh, okay.
Look at
how. How is it a disaster? How is it a disaster? Give me a tangible example of how it's a disaster. Give me a tangible example of how it's a disaster, Don.
Well, first of all, this thing with Korea. Give me a tangible example.
Of not a hypothetical of how this thing with Korea might play out. A tangible example of how it's a disaster.
Just in the Scandinavian countries, they think Trump is from the loony bin.
Oh, okay.
Know?
So random Scandinavians think Trump's crazy. So our foreign policy is a disaster because of random Scandinavians that Don might know.
I'm in constant contact with my nieces in Australia.
Well, you know they say it's Scandinavians, you know. Telling you.
Trump should be hospitalized for mental health.
Don's niece and a random Scandinavian.
Yeah.
All right, that's what you got. Right.
Australian, you know.
Yeah, okay. Your niece in Australia and a random Scandinavian.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Reports from England. Same thing.
We should have all of our Don, U.S. policy
so
dictated
that,
on by foreigners.
So that speaks for our foreign policy.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Not even remotely. Not even a little bit, Don. I love you, but I'm gonna let you go.
Thanks for the call, Don.
Not even a tiny bit.
I
have a friend in Scandinavia. Thinks he's in the loony bin.
Cool, Don. I really do appreciate Don's phone call because it does absolutely serve as the example of how difficult it is to have a rational conversation with an individual who has dug their heels in on particular views. And I know that is a very rich statement coming from a conservative talk show host, but the reality is, no, we're willing to have a conversation. We're willing to talk about the pluses and minuses. But if you're going to completely ignore actual facts, you know, like
data.
Like you said with North Korea, first time in decades. Oh, I don't think that's the case. It's just, he wants to meet with them. Oh, I don't know.
I mean, how do you really think it's going to go? We don't know yet.
Yes.
But the fact that there is a meeting that is in the works that they have requested, that in and of itself is a historic and significant moment.
Yeah, but
that should be applauded.
Sven from Scandinavia doesn't think that North Korean discussion is going to yield any results. So, you know.
And his Australian niece.
Yeah.
Everything with Don comes back to an anecdote.
Yeah. Sheila Dundee doesn't feel as if, you know, what the president's doing right now is really going to be that effective. It must be interesting to get to be that irrational. Right, and to be that, but I appreciate the phone call and the time, and I'm glad that he called back.
I'm thank you for listening, Don. I don't know if you're a valuable addition.
He's a gem,
but you're an addition.
He's an addition. He's a gem. I appreciate his phone calls. Star Tribune. What to expect today for the hashtag Enough National School Walkout, the 17-minute walkout to commemorate the one-month anniversary of the Florida school shooting. It has resonated, according to the article, with a growing number of Minnesota schools who have vowed to join the campaign against gun violence. What are your thoughts on this? 651-989-5855. I know something my kids are partaking because they're already home because they're on spring break. So I don't know how many different districts are on spring break currently. But would like to get your thoughts if you've got kids that are. We had a couple of tweets that we'll share with you. You have kids that are going to school. Have they been told about this? Have they been made aware of it? Are they going to be partaking in any of this? What have they been told?
I think most of the parents that I've talked to have received emails from principals or other administrators about how their school is going to handle it. I can speak for the high school that my son goes to. The principal sent out an email and said that he's been meeting with, quote, student leaders. Despite his efforts to get them to not participate in this walkout and the safety concerns, they are insistent and they are going to do it. So his angle on it, which I appreciated about as much as I could, is that, okay, if you're going to do it, we're going to try to make this as safe as possible. So they're limiting the access to where the students can enter and exit the school. They want them in an orderly fashion, doing it at one set of doors. There will be increased security presence because of the walkout, because students are going to be leaving in mass at one particular time, and everybody knows what that time is. Obviously, that could create an opportunity for a bad person to do a bad thing. So there's going to be an increased security presence, which I appreciate. And they were told it, you know, we expect you back in class in an orderly fashion within that 17-minute window. And if not, then you will be marked as an unexcused absence and you will suffer the appropriate consequences for missing class. That's about as good as I think a principal could handle it.
Yeah.
Because you can't just shut it down. Right. I mean, that's not really possible. If the students are going to do it, the students are going to do it. So at least try to control it and keep it as orderly and safe as possible.
As non-disruptive
as possible.
I'm not supportive of any of these walkouts that are occurring. Talking about that, I'm just warning you right now, incredibly cynical. Okay. With this one today, this hashtag enough walkout that's being organized by the Women's March. Initially, this is 17 minutes each one to honor the 17 people killed in the Florida shooting. I don't like it for what that's representing. I'm being really, really cynical on this, but.
Well, you have every right to be. You have every reason to be cynical. We've seen how these things have been co-opted in the past with every other movement that sort of starts like this.
But even you're right. But even beyond that, look, if the community in Florida where these children reside want to do this, I get it. But to me, it is so much style over substance for kids to walk out today, 17 minutes, a minute for every student that was killed. No, we mentioned earlier, Sam mentioned that in Buffalo, they're going to have a meeting where they'll discuss these things. I'm a much bigger fan of that. I'd be much more supportive or even supportive of sitting down for, don't put the symbolism of 17 minutes on top of it. Just say, we are going to have a gathering in the gym to discuss these matters, and we want to hear from students of what issues in our school are not being addressed. That, to me, would be, if you wanted to do anything, a very relevant way to go and handle this. But to me, this is very style over substance that is going to accomplish very little apart from doing what? Perpetuating this protest culture that we have. And to what you were saying, Drew, too many people are using this to push their agenda and getting these kids used to thinking this is how they go and solve problems. By carrying signs, by chanting, by repeating talking points. I can't be in support of it in that regard. Right. They've got their free speech, but I cannot be supportive of it.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Curious to hear from you. What has your school communicated with you? What has your kids' school communicated with you in terms of their plans for this today? What have your kids had to say about it? Will they be participating in it? Will they be sitting it out? Your calls and more coming up next on Twin Cities News Talk. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Talking about the school walkout that is happening today. Got some tweets that we'll read. A lot of people using the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Matt says, you know your protest is lame when other people are taking care of your security concerns so you can feel like a freedom fighter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Joe writes, my kids will not be participating, and according to them, most of their friends will not be participating either. They go to the Woodbury High School, which is allowing the walkout, but anyone who does it will get marked as an unexcused absence. Good.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing, a lot of these... You know, a lot of these protesters, they miss. It's like they don't understand that the power of the protest is in your willingness to suffer the consequences of the protest.
Right.
That's the power of the protest, right? Not I should get the protest and there should be no consequences. You know, with the stupid highway blocking protests that were going on for a while, they just thought they should be able to do that. And when they could do it for as long as they want, and when they felt like leaving, they should leave, and we should all just deal with it.
Right.
No, that's not how it works. There are consequences. And same with this. If this is important enough to you, then you are protesting to demonstrate to the rest of the world you are willing to suffer consequences because you are that passionate about this issue. If you're going to do it in such a way and then throw your hands up in the air and get all offended when there are some consequences to your actions, that's not a protest.
Right. If I'm going to go to Boss Man Chad and protest that I'm not allowed to talk about Star Wars as much as I want to talk about Star Wars, if I do that by waiting for the show to end and then marching down to his office with a demanding Star Wars talk sign in front of his office, he's going to laugh at me. If I get up while I'm on the air and walk out to his office and do that, that's effective and will get me fired.
But the point being,
that's a relevant protest.
Willing to get fired
to talk about Star Wars.
Because you think you should talk about Star Wars.
Right, which is why I do a podcast about it.
Which is why you don't talk about Star Wars that much. You are not willing to get fired.
Exactly right.
Matt on Twitter, Rosemont School's similar. My boy will not be walking out. As he said, if I have to make up work, why? He thinks it's pretty useless. That's what I'm going to be. You know, there's really going to be no way to know, but how much peer pressure is going to be happening here? You're going to have some kids that are doing this because they're passionate about it. Yes. You're going to have some kids that are doing it just because everyone else is doing it and cool. I get to walk out of class for half the class. You know, they don't really care. But then you're going to have some kids that will be, you know, for lack of a better term, conscientious objectors. And what sort of shunning is going to go on to those kids who say, no, I don't agree with this. And I am not going to take part in it.
Here is the other aspect that we haven't brought up yet, and that is, and I didn't say this when these were being planned, right? When the initial conversations from the kids from Parkland, and they were dominating the headlines and talking about these walkouts that were going to be taking place in March, the March for Life in March. I didn't say it then. I'll say it now. The story's over. There'll be some news coverage on some of these walkouts. There'll be some stories written, but in terms of the mainstream media, they've moved on, and no amount of their walkouts is going to go an amount in reviving this particular story to grab any headlines beyond the day that it occurs. It's not going to be effective. Now, that is to say, there are some talks still continuing when in terms of gun safety. I'm glad to see that locally the talk is swirling around how to bolster security at schools. But the reality is these walkouts, they're happening at a time when the news cycle has already moved on. It's not a story any longer. It's not captivating the public anymore. And it's going to be, you know, again, mostly style over substance.
Sue, calling from the East Metro. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to quickly comment. Both our superintendent and our principal basically gave the same message, Drew, as your principal that your son's principal gave.
Mm-hmm.
They basically are taking the student safety first. If you're going to do it, here's your place to go. And the whole consequence on school policy, if you leave, you know, this area, you'll have to suffer attendance consequences. But one other thing that they did do was they basically are allowing students to, during their computer labs or during their English class, allow them time to write to their local representatives on their current views of, you know, students' safety in the schools or whatever they would like to say to their representative, which I think is great.
I think it's great as long as the students are truly allowed to express how they feel and aren't being sort of guided. And I would be concerned that there would be a bit of coercion or some bias being put in there. But I don't know. That would just be a concern of mine.
Well, I will say I'm on the other. I haven't even went to that space. I'm thinking to myself, I think that's great because it's a civic process.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't, knowing my son who's a senior in high school, I can't see him and his friends doing this. And I just think it's like I think if this protest was on a non-school day, I think it would be a non-event for kids. That's how I feel.
I agree.
Like, who's going to wake up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning to do this if you're a high school student?
And my understanding is the actual sort of official, the hashtag never again one is supposed to take place on the 24th, which I believe is a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Understanding. Yeah.
And I would like to know the number of students that were going to be going to that. I mean, maybe there's some, and you know what? Go for it. If you are, I'm just saying, I think this is style over substance.
If you had a circumstance, I mean, think about it. I'm almost hesitant to go and say this on the air, but if you had a circumstance where in the wake of the horrible tragedy that took place in Parkland, where you saw a immediate next day after, a statewide across the country walkout of students, right? Who just took it upon themselves in a very authentic, genuine fashion because they were so outraged over it. Then I think you have something where you go, okay, this is having an effect in a large, large way on the public. That has a heck of a lot more potential than what they are doing now in sort of this waiting and having these organizations get behind it. And because you watch today on the list of things to expect, there's going to be pre-made signs. There's going to be pre-written chants. There's going to be notes with talking points. So when the students conduct their interviews with the cameras, they'll be able to speak intelligently on some of these things because a lot of students wouldn't know what to say otherwise. There's going to be a lot of pre-planning and not a lot of genuine comments coming from the students that are walking out today. That's just the reality of it.
Mark calling from Ramsey. Good morning, Mark. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know what, Drew, you made a lot of sense when you said that the power of the protest is the acceptance of the consequences. I wonder what would happen if somebody would sit down with these children and sit there and talk with them and let them know that if the protest is about gun control and taking guns away from law-abiding citizens, then what would the consequences be if a bad guy gets into a school with a gun and everybody else now is disarmed? I wonder if anybody's ever thought of talking to the students about that, because that's one heck of a consequence, if you ask me. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for your call, Mark. Yeah, unfortunately, that's an angle of school safety that they don't particularly even want to consider, is, having personnel in the schools that are equipped and trained to dispatch of a bad person there with bad intentions.
If we were to make a list of the things that students should be upset by or even protesting, in my opinion, based off of the numbers and the data when it comes to the occurrence of school shootings, this is not up at the top of the list. It just isn't. And the turmoil among kids, the bullying among kids in schools, in my opinion, that is just one of many. The quality of the education in and of itself is another. I mentioned before, we've been going through a situation with one of our sons, and it's been something that I did not expect that we were going to go through, and it's been very eye-opening and incredibly difficult to navigate on numerous levels in a way that I never, ever expected it was going to be. Yeah. Not just dealing with our child and how they are dealing with it, but reaction to the other students, reaction from faculty and staff, and how we handle it. There are bigger issues in the schools right now that the kids could be upset about and focusing on that are way more important than what they're doing right now. And adults are already addressing it.
I was talking to a friend who works with students in school. I'll leave out some details, but they were telling me that in one of their classes, their assignment was to, like Sue was saying earlier, not necessarily related to the gun control argument, but their assignment was to write a letter to an elected official of their choosing, expressing a concern that they have with what's going on in their community, city, state, or country right now. And after this assignment started, they had to kind of stop down and restart because every student was just writing about Donald Trump. And they're like, no, that's not the point of this assignment.
Right.
The point is to identify an issue that you're concerned about and express those concerns in an articulate fashion to an elected official. So they had to basically make a rule. I'm surprised they did this, to be honest. But they had to make a rule and say, okay, you cannot write about Donald Trump.
Wow.
They think like that because they think they're supposed to think like that because that's what they're seeing in the adults in their life, in the mainstream media, and in pop culture.
And in my opinion, that also speaks to, generally speaking, kids aren't thinking beyond what they're talking about with their friends in terms of these larger national issues. I mean, this is part of the reason why you're not voting until you're 18. And a lot of times these issues that kids are faced with that do have an effect on them, they're very singular issues one-on-one with friends and stuff around them. The outside world is still at many arm's length from them. So, again, they've got a right to voice their opinion, but I also believe that this issue when it comes to what they're going to be walking out today is many, many arm's length away from them.
And you're going to see elementary school-age kids walking out today, and that, to me, is offensive.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That offends me because those kids are doing what they're told.
Right.
They're not doing this. This is not a genuine uprising amongst first through fifth graders who are so concerned about gun control laws that they don't even understand or have any concept of that they're going to walk out of. No, they are being told to.
And that has the potential to cause more damage than it does any good because you don't want your kids walking through life fearful, right?
Right.
You know, a bad example, but like my irrational fear of flying. It's stupid. I don't want kids to have an irrational fear of going to school every day. You know, again, that's for the adults to deal with. Just real quick, I did make a list of the things, what to expect. I mentioned a few of these, Drew. So you can expect professional signs, right? And feel free to disagree with me if you do. You can expect professionally made signs.
Right.
Okay, you'll get some handwritten signs as well, but just a lot of professional ones. You'll get the pre-planned chants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drum? You think you expect any drums today?
Yeah, there'll be some drums.
Some drums? Okay. Yeah. You know, handouts with talking points, which the right is always accused of. Mm-hmm. Right? You must have gotten your talking points. Okay. Blaming of NRA.
Mm-hmm.
Trump.
Yep.
Conservatives?
Mm-hmm.
Republicans?
Mm-hmm.
Democrats?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm going to take them off the list. schools who left just to get out of school? Right? Right? Okay. And you can also expect, and there's no way to ever know this, but in my opinion, a lot of students who actually need support who probably won't be partaking today.
Yeah. And that's the problem. That's the big problem right there. Is like I said earlier in the show, every school has its cliques, has its groups, has its circles of friends, and you could go through any school and almost any student can point to that's the outcast. You know, that's the guy that sits alone at lunch. That's the guy who really doesn't have any friends. And what I would like to see today instead of these stupid walkouts is use this opportunity to show those outcasts, those people that are struggling socially, show them some empathy, show them you care, reach out to them and become their friend.
I'd rather them spending the day watching, you know, movies like My Bodyguard and Lucas. You know, give them some pictures and some insight.
Bodyguard is a good movie.
My Bodyguard's a really good movie.
That's a good movie. That should be a sign.
Yeah.
Viewing
there
today.
There you go. Go watch
it. Excellent job, John.
on occasion. Sam, have you seen My Bodyguard?
I have not.
That's your homework assignment right there.
You can leave now. Just go ahead.
Go ahead. You walk out.
First, you got to answer the phone for Mark Lauder.
That's right.
Because he's calling in, and we will talk to Mark Lauder about the possibility of North Korean peace talks, the shakeup in the State Department.
When you say Mark Lauder, you mean the handsome fellow who was the former assistant to the president and the press secretary to the vice president, correct?
Yes, the man whose bio you carry around on you at all times.
Next.
Justice.
If you have not downloaded the iHeartRadio app, you need to do that. You can take us wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. You can listen to entire show podcasts if you miss any portion of the show. We post show clips. All of the Twin Cities News Talk shows are available on there. And you have just an archive of music a curated playlist that you can go and get your hands on, all for just downloading the iHeartRadio app. So go and do that if you haven't done that already.
Yep, the Minnesota BeerCast has its own channel on there. And a quick plug for the Minnesota BeerCast, we will be at the Auto Show Friday night for a live broadcast at the Auto Show.
Whoa!
Come on out and say hello.
Crazy.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, be there live.
That's right.
People can come and watch you talk live.
About beer.
That's amazing. That's your favorite thing.
You have Star Wars.
Yes, sir.
I have beer.
That's right. Sam has goats.
Joining us now, a friend of the show, a regular guest, Mark Lauder, former special assistant to the president, press secretary to the vice president. Good morning, sir. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Star Wars or beer, I'll tell you.
Hey, you know what? We can.
Yeah.
You know what? There are no rules.
Let's get together and have a beer and talk Star Wars. That sounds like a fantastic idea. Hey, we had a number of different things that we wanted to talk to you about. Originally, this potential meeting with the North Korean leader, but of course we have the Tillerson and Pompeo news. You know what? Let's kind of do what we do with some of our regular guests and hand it off to you. We'll talk about both these issues, but which one do you want to dive into first?
I think the Secretary Tillerson announcement and North Korea are really tied hand in hand.
Oh, okay.
The issue yesterday where the president showed leadership in terms of making this decision, and I want to say the president said it, the White House has said it, I believe it as well, is that Secretary Tillerson performed remarkable service to our country. I respect him immensely. But there were areas where he and the president didn't see 100% eye to eye. President made this change as we are looking ahead toward historic talks with North Korea, the Iran deal coming up again, and every day it seems like we are learning new and more troubling information coming out of the activities in Russia. We need a Secretary of State that's standing strong with the President's voice on the world stage, and I think that's why he made the choice to switch from Secretary Tillerson to Secretary Pompeo.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, if you listen to the media and you listen to the Democrats, when Rex Tillerson was chosen to be Secretary of State, every headline said Rex Tillerson, who has close ties to Putin, you know, to be confirmed for Secretary of State. Every headline, and everybody was about how this guy was like, he was BFFs with Putin when he was chosen. And then all of a sudden when he gets fired, it's, oh, because he was too hard on Russia. It's absolutely ridiculous. But Nancy Pelosi, used to see him as friendly with Russia, but now that he's been fired, clearly he wasn't. So which is it? You can't really have it both ways.
It's the funny thing in Washington, D.C., from pretty much the moment he was confirmed last year, to yesterday, the media had been talking about how he was going to be fired. And then when, the president made the change, you know, they erupt in outrage. And I would say a broken clock is right twice a day. So, maybe sometimes the media lucks into one. But this is not about any of those things. This is about the president wanting to make sure that when we go out on the world stage, confronting North Korea, talking to them about possibly denuclearizing, which is one of the biggest goals we have across our planet for safety, dealing with Iran, dealing with Russia and their overt activities now here of recent weeks, we need to do it with someone who's speaking the voice of the President of the United States. The President and Mike Pompeo have a tremendous chemistry, and I think it's going to be a great change and a great leadership for the country moving forward.
Well, and the one thing that doesn't get discussed at all, and certainly not from the president's detractors, but I also think for those that support what President Donald Trump is doing, it doesn't get talked enough at all as much as it should, and that is, you know, President Trump wasn't a politician when he ended up winning, you know, the presidency, and we know he's been doing it for some time now, but when I see moves like this and that are specific to make sure the president can go and get done what he gets done, you know, I think it's appropriate to stop and go, yeah, this is going to happen. And if you have an individual who's not used to being in politics, it's not a slide on him at all. But he wants to get stuff done. He's not going to waste time. He's not going to go the route of waiting things out, maybe as a more seasoned politician as a president would do. He's going to move and he's going to act. And that's what I see in scenarios like this.
You're absolutely right, and you know, one of my biggest takeaways from my time with the president and the vice president is the president is somebody who wants things done yesterday, and he doesn't have the patience for the bureaucracy and slow walk of Washington, D.C. He wants to confront the issues, he wants to solve them, and he wants to move on to the next issue. And in this case, you know, we can – we can respect Secretary Tillerson and his service and also move into a different direction. And I think that's what you saw the president do yesterday. And top that off, by the nomination of the first woman to ever run the CIA. I mean, again, he is breaking boundaries. Even President Obama's former head of the CIA called that a great move. And so we've really got a strong team rallying around this president, once we can get them confirmed, to move forward in a way with American strength.
Do you expect any hiccups in those confirmations? It doesn't sound like, you know, specifically with Pompeo, that there's going to be much resistance, much outcry from the Democrats on that. But it is an election year, and they clearly don't want to give Trump or the Republicans too many wins.
Well, and we saw earlier this morning, we were having a conversation about this right to try bill that we have some local connections on with our own Representative Nick Zerwas. And, you know, we had sort of clear sailing coming from the Senate, but yet in the House, they threw it out, essentially, based solely off of just, you know, Democrat to party opposition, essentially, when that was a really easy one to get done. So I echo Drew's question on hiccups, because I just don't trust what the opposition is going to do in trying to keep President Donald Trump from having any kind of win or pushing forward on what he wants to do.
Well, I certainly hope, and I would encourage your listeners to contact your two Democratic senators in their offices and encourage them and Senator Schumer not to play games with the nominations of Director Pompeo and our new CIA director. This is not the time. This is not these are not the jobs you should be playing politics with. And we have seen time and time again, Democrats in the Senate, including your Democratic senators, who have thrown up every procedural hurdle, roadblock that they can, only to, when someone clears those hurdles, to have them confirmed 98-0 or 95-3 or something like that in an overwhelming fashion. Secretary of State, Director of the CIA, when we are confronting the challenges we face in the world, is not something you play games with. And I would hope that your Democratic senators and those around the rest of the country would not do that. And if they did, that the American people would say, this is not the time, this is not the place to be doing that.
What's the talk around this meeting in May that the president could have with Kim Jong-un? Can you provide any sort of insight? Has there been any kind of preliminary discussion, or, you know, do you anticipate this is a one-time sit-down, or do you anticipate this is going to be the first of what could potentially be other discussions down the road? Can you provide some insight there, Mark Lauder?
I don't want to get ahead of the president in that. I know that there are a lot of work going on right now among many departments in the federal government working on the logistics for this meeting. But the thing I would say is that let's look at what got us here. You know, after 27 years of weakness and Americans kicking the can down the road and bribing and cajoling North Korea, only to see them turn their backs on their agreements and continue developing nuclear weapons and ballistic missile technology. This is a president, when he came into office, he came in focused, said, I am going to rally the world stage, level the maximum pressure diplomatically, sanctions-wise, with the threat of everything being on the table. And because of that, we have the opportunity for these talks. And the United States didn't give up anything to get it. The maximum pressure continues, our military exercises continue, and North Korea is the one saying, we'll talk, we'll discuss denuclearization. We also understand at the same time the sanctions are going to stay in place and the military exercises are going to continue. The president's leadership on this and that of our allies is working, and so it's good for the president to be able to sit down with the North Korean leader to say, what is it that you want? We can have a frank and open conversation. But at the same time, the sanctions will continue until they give up their nuclear weapons and their ballistic missile technology. The world has spoken on that, and we will not relent until the Korean Peninsula is free of nuclear weapons and their ability to challenge and threaten the world with them.
They should. Can you suggest to the president that they make it a pay-per-view event? Because I think we can solve the U.S. debt if we did.
that's an interesting idea. I'm not sure the national media would go for that.
Quick little side note, not that I've been seeing any reason to think this, but do you have any reason to suspect that the timing of the Tillerson firing has anything to do with how the North Korea situation has been or is being handled? Or you know, could it be to put someone in there that Trump may think may do a better job on that front?
Indirectly, I believe so. I think as we head into this time, the president wanted to make sure he had his team and the people that he wanted in place there ready to go while we enter these talks. And so I think that's the reason why the president made the change at this time. It's my understanding the Senate will take up confirmation of Secretary-designate Pompeo next month. So if everything goes as planned, if the Democrats don't play games, we should be able to have Secretary Pompeo confirmed next month in time to begin those talks maybe at some point in May, which is what they've indicated. And so, again, president thinking ahead, making sure he's got his team in place as we get ready to go into what could be historic talks.
Mark Lauder, as always, we appreciate the time that you have for us. Again, former special assistant to the president and press secretary to the vice president. Always good to talk to you, sir.
Great talking with you guys.
Take care. Have a great day.
He made a really interesting point there, and I hadn't really thought about it. That this meeting, if it happens with Kim Jong Un, is happening without us having to make any type of concessions whatsoever. That's a really, really important point. You know, we're still continuing to do what it is we do in the region. We've still got our forces there. We're not, you know, taking away any drills or anything else. And yet, we're, you know, this is still going to happen. That's pretty huge.
The significance of it has been so underreported.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only because it's Trump.
Yep.
You know, they get so sidetracked and caught up on the cult of personality around Trump. You know, that they can't look at this for the historical significant moment that it is.
Can you imagine if we were able to actually, if he were able to do it like he's done with the bipartisan meetings, like the immigration one, where we could actually, yeah, with a translator
table.
Oh man,
that would be some amazing.
I'd pay some money to see that. I absolutely would.
Yeah.
I absolutely would pay some money.
I would buy that pay-per-view. I would skip WrestleMania for it.
Drew, do you want to go to the place that I mentioned going, or do you want to save that for another day?
To go there, we only had a couple minutes left.
Let's save it. It's a special one because it's going to require some unpacking.
Oh, but now I want to know what it is.
You know what it is.
Yeah, you didn't. I texted it to both of you guys yesterday.
Oh yeah, we need more time.
Well, what was interesting about it was is that I texted it to you. I didn't get any response, and then I texted something else, and then I get the hee hee from Drew. I don't know what that hee hee was in reference to. Was it in reference to the fact that there's a study that says there's no such thing as straight or gay on sexuality, or was it in reference to something else that I said?
I don't know. I have to go back and look.
Maybe it was just in reference to your face.
But my face wasn't in the text, so that's an irrelevant.
It didn't have to be. He knows what your face looks like.
I can say that with a great degree of certainty that Sam is wrong about that one.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it was in reference to the fact that I did. I tweeted both of you guys, and we could.
You didn't tweet anything else.
Or texted to you.
Text anything else between.
No, I texted you something before that.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
On air text meeting. Woo!
Yeah, see, I texted a funny thing.
That wasn't funny.
But what I texted was, everybody knows, there is an article out of Indy 100, and it says there's no such thing as totally straight, according to a new study on sexuality. And so I texted my two friends a link to the article, and then I wrote, I guess that explains it then. So we can get into the details of the study at a different time.
That would be good.
Because we don't have time for it now. Tomorrow we do have a jam-packed show. Fox News contributor and editor at townhall.com, Katie Pavlich, is going to be joining us. We, of course, have a lot to get to with Katie, and especially her thoughts on Trump's visit to San Diego to look at the border wall prototypes.
Right, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fallout from these student walkouts today. A lot of talking points being distributed. A lot of really dumb things being said, so we'll have to get her thoughts on all that as well.
Yeah, we will. There's a story we didn't get to today in regards to this. A plan to eliminate state funding for Minnesota school resource officers reversed. So we'll get some details on that. State Senator Dave Osmek had some thoughts on this particular one that we'll dive into.
I hope everybody survives the solar storm today.
That's right. That's right. Keep an eye on Yellowstone.
I hope Yellowstone doesn't erupt
anytime soon, at least in an
apocalyptic event.
Either way, good job, everybody. Good job.
Yeah, assuming we're all around, we'll do this again tomorrow.
You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, Sam, you good with doing it again tomorrow?
Assuming the world doesn't end.
Sure. All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Get that. I don't want nobody to give me nothing.
Open up the door. I'll get it myself. I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a